Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, Clint. So, appreciate you jumping in with us on a Monday. I know you're going to be with us on Thursday, but this is such big news that I know that the audience probably wants to hear some of your takes on this, the termination of Brian Gain. We'll get into replacements and things like that down the road, but I guess what was your initial reaction when you heard the news on Friday that Brian Gain was gone?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it with the Rockets, Sean. I mean, I love aggressive moves by management, by head coach. When something's not right in pro sports and even in the college game, so often you see guys, I mean, Arkansas just did it with Brett Bielema because of the buyout and how much they owed him. He coached in that probably 2 years longer than he really should have. And so in a time when a lot of guys don't have the guts to make the move or their ego's too big to admit they made a mistake, Cal McNair just simply pulled the trigger on a guy because clearly there's a better option. The timing was right. But it would have been – it's a situation where a lot of guys would have just sat there and held steady because there was a – just because – there was a five-year contract in place, and you can't admit you screwed it up a year in, or you can't admit there's a better option a year in. I admire and respect a guy for pulling the trigger when he clearly has a better option in at least in store. I don't know. He doesn't have it in place yet, but at least he's got an idea of a better option that he believes is going to put them closer to a championship organization, and I applaud that kind of effort.
Speaking of pulling the trigger, Clint, we've been talking about this, curious to get your opinion on it. It's certainly possible that Brian Gain's inability to pull the trigger may have been a factor in his dismissal. They entered this offseason with a roughly $70 million to spend. They still have about $40 million of that $70 million. And, you know, the offseason feels a little bit underwhelming in terms of what they did to address needs in free agency and the draft. Are you with me on that?
No, I'm not. I think that Bill O'Brien is a guy he's leading that charge. I mean, you can give him whatever label you want. You can give the GM whatever label he wants. Bill O'Brien doesn't seem to me to be a guy that's just sitting back and letting somebody else make decisions or take the credit or discredit when somebody's signed or extended or drafted. I just believe that's more of a I think Bill O'Brien has got his hands in that a lot more than we probably think so. I mean, I've heard you guys, Rich, I don't think you were on this weekend, but I know Sean was on an emergency show Friday. I heard you guys, and, you know, there's several people that said, well, maybe it was because of the draft, or maybe it was because he hasn't re-signed Clowney, or he hasn't made a push for any of these big offensive linemen. The elephant in the room is the offensive line struggled, maybe because he hasn't improved that. I just think that those things are all going according to plan with Bill O'Brien. I really believe that he is such a presence in the room that if you survive two GMs getting fired, there's no way you're not making those critical decisions.
Clint Sterner joining us here on Sports Radio 610. So along those lines, Clint, like you said, he's been around now for the termination of two general managers. He's on his third GM in a matter of just 3 or 4 years here. So what are your thoughts on Bill O'Brien and the seat underneath him and the heat level of that seat with respect to 2019? What do you think Bill O'Brien needs to do in 2019 in order for, I'm not going to say avoid suffering the same fate as Brian Gain, but for it to at least not be a talking point about the seat getting hot underneath O'Brien? Because Cal McNair has clearly shown that there is a sense of urgency at the top now.
Yeah, Sean, we've talked about it a million times, man. You and I personally, if this is the year for Bill O'Brien, I mean, you talk about last year's winning the division and your stars stayed healthy finally, so they're all healthy in the offseason right now. They've doubled down on their ability, their being the staff. They've doubled down on their ability to develop these players, man. I think it's Bill O'Brien's seat is obviously not hot at this point, and I don't think, regardless of what happens this year, I don't think anything happens to Bill O'Brien. But I believe after this year, if it's a tough season, his seat is as hot as anybody's in the league. They are doubling down. Now, you see Bill O'Brien double down on their ability to develop players. I think this is the organization and Cal McNair doubling down on Bill O'Brien, saying, hey, this is our guy. We're sticking with him through thick and thin. And it's going to get real thin if they win four or five games this next season. So, you know, I don't know how that relates, Sean. Back to your question, I don't know how that relates to the GM. I don't see them bringing a GM in and going, boy, if you have a rough first season, you're out of here. You know, that's bad business. That's dysfunction at its finest. So I don't see that being as much of an issue, the winning and losing as much of an issue for the GM as much as it will be for Bill O'Brien.
We've been directing our listeners, Clint, to the website, sportsradio610.com. John Lopez with a post. The headline reads, Texans to name new GM by Friday. And John lays out what he has been told will be the new power structure of the front office. And it involves increased power for Jack Easterby, who just came on board with the franchise in April after a tenure with Belichick and the Patriots. And then also the hiring of Nick Caserio, who's been with Belichick since 2002 in New England, as the new general manager. How does that sound to you in terms of, you know, making this even more Patriots South here in Houston?
I love it. Again, I've always wondered why college football teams don't try to at least try to copycat the blueprint that Saban's created. And in the NFL, it's the same thing with the Patriots. I remember Adam Gase, somebody reported that or actually wrote an article about Adam Gase, and everybody should follow his lead as far as how he handles his OTAs and his rookie mini camps and things like that. And I thought, why in the hell would you follow that guy? What you need to just follow what New England's doing. So again, I appreciate the aggressiveness, and I appreciate the fact that they're tying it. It's at least it's as tied to the New England Patriots, as close to the New England Patriots as you can be, considering you're a total different organization. So, Rich, anything that revolves around guys having spent time with the New England Patriots and bringing the Patriot way to Houston, I think is the smartest. It seems like it's simple, stupid, but it's the smartest thing in pro football. Surround yourself with those guys. How are they doing it? And try to duplicate it, try to replicate it, because your stars are in place and you got to win now.
Clint, it sounds like Nick Caserio, the director of player personnel in New England, is the front runner for the job. One of the names that came up when Gain got hired a couple of years ago was Will McClay out of Dallas, who I'm looking at an article from Mike Fisher, who we've actually had on the show in the last couple of weeks, saying that McClay has already put to bed that the Texans shouldn't bother calling. He wants his job. He's the VP of player personnel under Jerry Jones up in Dallas. I guess just first, are the Texans missing out? Because I know you, from being with the Cowboys, know a little something about McClay. Are the Texans missing out on anything with McClay? And just any thoughts that you have on Caserio as the front runner?
Well, I think Will is obviously a hell of a – he was my head coach when I was playing with the Desperados, and he was a friend of mine when I was playing with the Cowboys before that, because he was around the organization. I don't remember exactly what his title was before the Desperados, but hell of a coach, hell of a guy. I mean, can relate to players. We had one of the most talented Arena League football teams because of his eye for talent. I mean, he's proven to be an absolute gem in Dallas right now with what they've done in the draft the last few years. Even they've drafted some big name guys and hit home runs with them, and they've drafted some guys later in the draft and hit home runs with them, those players. So he's clearly first class relative to NFL, you know, player personnel, GM type of roles. And so I don't know if they're missing on him. I mean, I would think if the Texans do not get Nick Caserio, which is obviously the front runner. If they don't get him, I would like for them to go after a guy like Will McClay, man. But Will is definitely a Jerry Jones guy. He's a Dallas guy, and for him to leave that kind of security and the kind of history that he has in Dallas, it would have to be a hell of a deal down here in Houston. But the Texans, obviously, Sean, Nick Caserio's the guy. When I hear that, the one thing that I mentioned in our little videos that we all posted on social media, that this hits the reset button on all trade, all negotiations that are going on with obviously Clowney. You know, that's a situation where the reset button is hit on that, and they just let Trey Flowers walk. And I'm not saying Trey Flowers is a Clowney guy, but it's a similar situation, a guy that's made a ton of plays that could be extended. long term, and they didn't do it. So it piques my interest. Hopefully by Thursday we'll have something with a little bit more meat on the bone to talk about relative to what those kind of decisions moving forward.
You know, Clint, it occurred to me after the news came down on Friday, more often than not, when you hear about a general manager being fired, it's because the team he's running is not really doing that well. I mean, it's pretty obvious there's not a major rebuild necessary in the case of the Texans. Whoever gets this job is inheriting a pretty good team, an 11-win team, won 9 in a row, won a division championship last year, certainly disappointed in the playoffs. And you used the phrase earlier, the stars are aligned. How well-positioned do you think this team is right now, if healthy, to improve on what they did last year?
Rich, I think this team's locked and loaded. I mean, you talk about from a GM's perspective, the stars are in place, the leaders are in place. They got as many superstars and as many leaders as any team in the league. The head coach, he's doubled down on himself to win. They've won as much as you could possibly win without being a true contender in the playoffs and without having major signature wins throughout the seasons. I mean, this thing's primed and ready to take off. So I've got to believe that any GM out there, short of a guy like Will McClay in Dallas, who has just got his roots are there and he's a Jerry Jones guy, anybody out there worth a plug nickel that's going to get the call wants this job. This isn't one of those where somebody's going to have to take a flyer and take a chance on Houston. They want this job. This is definitely a place that will be a highly sought-after gig, man, and rightfully so. I think from the outside looking in, we have a tendency here, guys, to pick things apart like we're paid to do, pick the O-line apart, every decision. I think from the outside looking in on a national scale, there are very few negatives relative to where the Texans sit right now. And this is going to be assuming Caserio doesn't take the job or get the job or that the Texans don't get their first shot or their top candidate, I think it's going to be wide open. There's going to be a lot of options.
That's Clint Sterner, for whom we need a drinking game when we do conversations like this. What did you just say, a plug nickel?
He's used that one before.
We got to get you out of Chi-Town. We got to get you out of Chi-Town, baby.
He's rolled that out before. I've heard you say that.
Yeah, the plug nickel. All right, I can't wait. Clint Sterner joins us every Thursday in studio, and actually this Thursday – he'll be with us, but we'll be out at Texas Star Grill Shop up on Louetta. So he'll be with us on Thursday out there. Stop by and say hello, and he jumps in with us here for a segment to react to the news from Friday about Brian Gaine and the news looking ahead to Nick Caserio being the front runner for the general manager's job. Clint, we appreciate it as always. We will see you on Thursday, brother.
You bet, man. Y'all have fun now.
All right, well, we're having fun, buddy. We're having fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.